If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, Paul says, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I want to preach just a little while tonight, if God will be my help, on the manifestation of preaching. The manifestation of preaching. As I was looking at this and I was thinking on the Word and got to thinking about how magnificent God is. And Paul speaks of being a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. Now, I got to thinking on this stuff, and I got to thinking about what Paul had just lit these four little verses, the magnitude of Paul's teachings, of what he gives us and what he gives me and you, God. And I just want to try to give you just a little bit of that this evening, if God will be our help. Now, Paul's talking about being a servant of God. I'm saying if we're a child of God, if you've been born again, praise God, we're each and every one of us is a servant of God. Hey, we're just like bond servants that wants to be there. We're like that bond servant that went before the master and said, "Master, I don't want to, after 7 years, he said, I don't want to be let go. He said, I want to stay with my master." Yes, and he stood up against the door and they'd take it all and they'd poke it through his ear, said that servant belonged to his master. Paul said, "That's what I am." He said, "I'm a bond servant to the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "I'm not there because I have to." He said, "I'm there because I want to be a servant of the Lord." Amen. Ain't you glad tonight that God will just make you, fix you up right now and make you a servant of the Most High God. Hey, I tell you what, most people look down. They might look down on us because we're trying to serve the Lord. But I tell you tonight, if God has called you to be a servant of God, we ought to lift up our head and praise and give Him hallelujahs tonight for just allowing us, a little old somebody like me and you, praise God, to be a servant of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, that excites me. I could be counted worthy, praise God, to be a servant of the Most High God. But he says, according to the faith of God's elect. And now, what is faith? We know what faith is tonight, don't we? Faith is just believing God. Amen? Hey, a lot of people say, well, faith is believing in God. But I want to say faith is more than believing in God. Faith is, Brother Rex, it's believing God. It's believing what He says. Realize, praise God, that He is God Almighty. And what He says, praise God, is absolutely correct. It's absolutely, hey, it's that what we need, praise God. That may not be good English, but it's that what we need to be a child of the King. Yeah, amen. Amen. It's that faith. Faith is believing in God. It's believing on God. And praise God, it's taking His word, praise God, for what it is. Realizing that it's a help, praise, for this day and hour that we live to help us along the way. A roadmap of life. A lot of people, I've heard people say before, well, you know, life would be so much easier if we just had some instructions. We've got some. We've got 66 books of instructions. Amen? It's instructions for life. Praise the Lord. Amen? It'll get us there if we just trust the Lord. So faith is that believing the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's faith of God's elect. Now, what is the elect? That's election. Amen? That's divine choice. Praise God. It's not us that makes the choice. It's God that chose us. Amen? From the foundation of the world, praise God, God chose us. He chose me and you. Gave us the opportunity to be a child of the King. Amen? In other words, He gave us a free will. He made us free moral agents. Amen? Now, a lot of people say, well, give me a free will so I can, you know, I can choose Him today and I can just disallow Him tomorrow. Praise God. I tell you, you ever get a hold of God and God ever gets a hold of you, praise God, you ain't going to want to let Him go. Hallelujah. Amen. If we ever come to realization just how good God is and where he can take us to, what He can bring us through, glory to God, we'll get a different aspect of godliness. Amen? So we begin to see that we were, it was a divine choosing of God when God chose us. I'm talking about people that's distinguished as objects of mercy. That's what me and you are. That's what election is. People distinguished as objects of God's mercy. He didn't have to save us, but He did. He made provisions, praise God, for me and you before the foundation of the world to give us an opportunity as old sinners, praise God, to be saved. That's mercy. Amen. When we deserve justice. Justice of God could have been poured out on us. We could have been broke with our back broke in hell tonight. But God extended His mercy. Amen. He does that because, and we become subjects of grace. Amen. That's what election, that's where it brings us to. Not only being distinguished as an object of mercy, but to become subjects of God's grace. That's what Paul's are talking about here, amen. It's being a servant of the Lord, being servant of God's marvelous grace that He's extended to usward. Now, there ain't none of us say, hey, there's nothing we can do to deserve that. Amen. That grace is that marvelous gift that God gives and extends to men. Amen. And we know, hey, there's none of us deserve it, but God extends it to us. Amen. And then then when we're established in grace, become subjects of grace, and then we're sanctified. Now that takes place through the Spirit of God. Amen. That sanctification, that setting aside, that directing and refocusing, amen, and redirecting us in the place and the path that we need to go. See, a lot of times I believe I'm going doing this tonight because I think a lot of times we miss the point. I think a lot of times we said, we come to an old-fashioned altar, we make a profession, and we realize there's a God in glory loves us, and there's a hell to shun, and we come and cry out, and we get up, and we go about our business, popping our blowgum, and we don't realize that there's something to take place in our hearts. Amen. That the Holy Ghost of God, He moves in, praise God. He takes up His abode and He takes that old table that we used to eat on. If we'll let Him, He'll clean her off, praise God, and set us a new table. Amen. I mean, He'll prepare us a feast. Hey, we're going to feast here next Sunday. We're going to have us a big old spread. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. I was like, praise God, we got a lot to be thankful for. Yes, amen. We're blessed. We're still alive. Praise God. We're still able to go. Yeah. Amen. We are blessed people, but we ought to thank God for that. But we got to realize it's at once the Holy Ghost of God, that once He sets us that new table, praise God, if we'll just allow Him through sanctification, through that setting us ourselves aside. So what does that mean? That means that we can't go and do the things that we used to do. He won't let us. Like we say so many times, praise God. Hey, once God saved me, what's that? I give my life to the Lord, praise God, and I realize that He was the Lord. He became the Lord of my life. I could go out and drink all the alcohol I wanted. I could go out and take all the drugs I wanted. I could go out and smoke all the dope I wanted. Because, hey, God changed my want to.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to do that stuff no more. Hey, man, it's wickedness in the eyes of God. And I heard a fellow talk to today. He was talking about, he said, you know what? He said, there was a fella telling him, he said, that marijuana's okay because it's herb that God put here. And since God put it here, it ought to be okay. He put it on this earth. This earth is under a curse. You know what I told him? I said, well, those old green bars out there too that'll cut you all to pieces, and I don't see him smoking them. Amen? Why not? God made it and put it here. I tell you, people's crippled too high for crutches. Amen. Hey, listen, God says you don't put stuff in your body that's going to make you lose your senses. Amen. Hey, listen, you young people, listen to me. You don't put pills in your body. You don't smoke dope. You don't do things and drink booze, praise God, that's going to alter your mind.
Amen.
Amen. And you need to stay away from people that do that. Hey, don't think you can win them to the Lord. You're going to win them to the Lord by getting yourself away from them, praise God, and walking circumspectly with God, amen, pleasing in His eye. That's how you'll win them. Amen. You'll not win them by going to hog pen with them. You just get the stink on you too. Hey, you can't go to hog pen. Hey, I used to raise hogs. My daddy raised hogs. We had big old sows, brood sows, and we had little old piglets, I mean, all over the place. And you didn't go down there and slop the hogs. If you wore your good clothes, your good shoes, praise God, when you got back, you smelled like a hog pen. Amen. That's for I am right. Amen. So you got to stay out of the hog pen, young. Praise God. Stay away from the mess of this world. You do that, praise God, by just in faith believing that God is real, He's true, and maybe just touching in faith the grace of God to the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. Realize, say, hey, there's somebody in me that's made me different. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord when them folks, come through Miss Margie's line. Over to Kmart. You know who they ought to see? They ought to see Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You say, well, you know what? That's hard. You ought to work over Kmart. I know. I bless their heart. Amen? It's tough. These people come through there. They don't give rip about nothing. But praise God. Hey, listen, you know what? We still got to be alive. We got to shine. Just tell them Jesus loves them. Amen. Point them to that good place. Praise God. Where they can come get in out of this old wicked world. Amen. It comes through sanctifying power of the Holy God. Amen. Not only does it come through sanctifying, but it comes from preparing them for heaven. To prepare them for heaven, said then the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Amen. So it's also through the Word and through the Spirit. So not only do we have it through faith, believing, and through the election of divine choice that God chose us. Amen. There's a lot of folks said, well, you know, I found Jesus. They'll stuff their chest out and say, I found Jesus. Newsflash, He never was lost. Amen. I'm afraid that's what's wrong with the world. I found Jesus. Well, you probably did. I think there's two or three of them down there in Florida walking around with their robes and her sandals on, patrolling the beach, amen, with their long hair and their beards and saying that they're Jesus. Amen. Hey, you go down there and find them. But praise God, I tell you, I thank God for the one that found me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Came to where I was seeking that was lost. Praise God. Come to where I was. It's through the Word and through that sweet Spirit of God that stirred my soul. Amen. Hey, it led me into godliness. Praise God, that God-likeness. Amen. Hey, He said we're made in His image. Right? So all we got to do is just become like Him. I'm like Brother Bill. I don't know. So we ought to just act like Christians. No, we don't. We're not actors. We ought to just be like Jesus. Amen. Walk like Him, talk like Him, live like Him. Hey, just believe like Him. If we could get the believing part down. See, he had a monopoly because he had absolute faith in the Father. He knew who Father was. But he said, if you'll just believe me, amen. Hey, even for the work's sake, what you can see, praise God, it'll get you places with God. Amen. So we just got to believe, praise God, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe God to the saving our soul. Let me go on. Verse 2. He said, in hope of eternal life. So we got this faith, which is believing. We got election, which is divine choice. And it leads to grace and mercy and sanctification and prepares us for heaven. Amen. Gets us ready for the journey of life. It directs us in the way that we need to go. Amen. In a preparation for at home. In other words, this is a preparing place. This is a getting ready place. This is a dressing up place for heaven. Amen. A place that we get ready. Praise the Lord. He said, in hope of eternal life. Now, what is hope? Hope is faith with expectations. Amen. It's hope with expectations. Now, a lot of times I've heard people say, well, hope is a desire. Or hope is something that you wish for. If hope is just a desire and something you wish. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of desires. Amen. When I was a young man, hey, I desired to have one of them Richard Petty Plymouths with that big spoiler on the back. Amen. When I was about Landon's age, those was popular then, by the way. It was his race car. Amen. But I desired in my heart, praise God, to have one of them Richard Petty Plymouths. Amen. But guess what? If my hope would have been in that and that alone, I would have been let down. Because, we finally got one for George. It's a little Maxbox. Amen. And we put it on the shelf, and so we look at it, didn't even open the package, put it on the shelf, and when they broke into our house, they stole that. But you know the amazing thing about that? Cool, praise the Lord, I didn't even think about that. I wanted one of them Richard Matty Pretty Plymouths when I was a kid, Brother Jeff, really bad. So I got George one of the matchboxes. I mean, they were collector items. We put it on a shelf. Well, when they broke in the house, they stole that. Well, guess what? We had to write down a description of everything that was stolen. And we got a hint that we knew who had broke in. So we told the sheriff's department, saying, you know what? We think we know who did it. So they go down there to the fella's house and they begin to look around. And they couldn't find a thing. But they went in there to his bedroom, and guess what he had sitting on his dresser? Yep. See, God was taking care of me then, and I didn't even know it. Praise the Lord, I didn't even think about it. Never did think about that before. Amen. I desired that, praise God. He gave me one, not the one I wanted, but the one he went and had me to have, praise God. And it led to their arrest. And I got most of my stuff back. Praise the Lord. But if it was a strong desire that I had, if hope was just a desire, hey, it could lead to disappointment, couldn't it? It could lead to a lot of sadness in this old world. It could even lead to anxiety because we're not getting what we hope for. But hope is not something like that. But Paul said in Romans 5:5, that hope maketh not ashamed. He said, the hope that we have, praise God, is not in the worldly thing, but it's in what God says. Amen? It's in what God has given us. It's not in something that's just out there and we might be able to attain to it, but it's what God's already promised. Amen? That's what hope is. When I was a young kid, I couldn't understand when my granddaddy was preaching, somebody come to the altar and they'd weep away to Jesus and they'd jump up. He'd say, praise God, they got hope. Amen. What was he saying? He said they got their cart loaded up, praise God, headed for glory. Amen. They had something, praise God, that they could count on. Faith with expectation. Expecting something at the end of your faith. Praise the Lord. Oh, Father Abraham, he had hope. He hoped in things. In I was looking at this in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says this of Father Abraham. He says, who against hope believed in hope. Who against hope believed in hope. Now, hope was there. I mean, he could see. And he said, you know what? God the Father, he's made me a promise. And I'm waiting on that promise. But praise God, in spite of the hope he had as a physical man, praise God, God said, I'm going to exceed your expectations, praise God, in the spiritual man. Amen? That's hope against hope, praise God. It's not the hope that we have, but it's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That faith with an expectation of God manifesting himself. God come to Abraham and he said, I'm going to give you a son. Amen? And he said, Sarah's going to conceive. Now, she's in her tent. Amen. She's listening to what's said behind the tent door, tent flap. He said, Sarah's going to conceive. He said, this time next year, you're going to be a daddy. Amen. And old Sarah's back there behind the tent flap, and she's like, yeah, right. I'm 90 years old. I'm way past all that. Amen. You ladies imagine 90 years old and conceiving, bringing forth. I mean, nowadays, 40 years old, we don't even think about it. I done raised my youngins. I ain't having no more. But she lied. But see, I was offered hope, even in a hopeless situation. Praise the Lord. Let me go on. Said, in hope of eternal life. He's talking about that life eternal that we have, the hope that we have in his, that faith and the manifestation of that faith with expectation of eternity. Paul told young Timothy the same thing. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you want to flip back just a few pages, Paul was talking to Timothy and says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. So there's that hope that he passes out. That eternal life, praise God, is that hope, or that life eternal. The promise of life. If you've got the promise of life, praise God, that's pretty good hope, ain't it? Amen? Hey, it's hope beyond anything we've got here. This old vale of tears that we live in, praise God. Hey, if you get hung up out in here, one of these days you're going to just shrivel up and go away. Amen. But praise God, if we've got hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, it's an eternal hope. It's beyond this old vale of tears, praise God. It leads us past it into something far better. Praise the Lord. We can see it. And he goes on and he says, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So now I want you to notice something here. Now this is an absolute statement. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, an absolute statement here that God's made, saying that he's immutable. He doesn't change and he can't lie. Do you know God can't lie? They've never, anything he said in his word, they've never found a contradiction to it. They've never said, well, you know what? The God Bible says this, but he lied. It don't happen that way. Nobody's ever done that. And you know what? They never will. Because God is, he cannot lie. He promised before the world began. So what he said, I got a hold of this the other night and I about had me a spell. He said, Brother Bill, he made you a promise before you ever believed. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Old devil don't like that. He made you a promise, Jesse, before you ever believed. And he said, if you'll just believe on me, praise God, have faith in me, he said, I'll give you that eternal hope. I'll give you the life eternal. Praise the Lord. So we have a hope, praise God. If we just believe, and he made us a promise before we even believe. Amen. And once we believe, praise God, we become partakers in the promise. How about that? Don't that make your heart bubble up? Praise God that God had a promise. Hey, I'm talking about a God that loved us enough that he made us a promise before we even believed. Praise God. I mean before the Holy Ghost ever dealt with your heart. God already made you a promise. And if we'd accept him, praise God, he'd accept us. See, he bought us back from our sin by his own son. Praise the Lord. But he says, but how? Now listen to this. He said, but how? Now notice how we see what God has done. How we see what God's done makes all the difference in our lives. How we look at what God has done through history, through our lives, and the manifestation thereof. It all plays out. Amen. The manifestation of preaching, what we hear about God. Preaching, that's that proclamation, praise God, of the gospel. Amen? That heralding of the gospel, that telling that good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a manifestation. That's painting that picture. The way God, the way I try to get God to give it to me, so he paint me a picture so I can show you. So that we can look at it together. Amen? I don't know about you, sometimes I get excited. I get to seeing these pictures, praise God. And sometimes I guess when God painting them for me, they're kind of in black and white. And when I get up and the Holy Ghost, God gets them moving, praise God, they start getting in color. Yeah. And then they get to getting in 3D, praise God. And they, hey, listen, and then them things start coming out at you. And I'm like, woo, praise God. Yeah. Amen. It's just like you seeing the real thing because it is. Amen. That manifestation. But now notice what he said. He says, but hath in due times manifests his word through preaching. Now he's talking about times that are appointed. Times that are appointed for hearing the word of God and realize that God is. And have you ever been sitting in church and all of a sudden it just seems like all of a sudden that you're there and you're in this, like maybe some of you tonight and you're doodling and you're not paying much attention and all of a sudden it's just like God just reaches down where you're at and grabs you and jerks you up and gets your attention. Amen. Amen. That's that manifestation of the preaching. All of a sudden, praise God, it's like when you say, hey, look, that preacher's, who told him about me? Who? That preacher's been down there at the house looking in my mailbox. Amen. Who told him about what I, who told him about me going over there? Hey, that's the manifestation of the preaching. That's God, praise God, taking out of the book and praise God, painting you a picture in your heart. Amen. So that you can see, praise God, what God's saying to you. That's that manifest. And then it's begotten through the hearing of the Word of God. Amen. We hear, praise God, that, and we do conceive, praise God. We realize that it's God speaking to us personally. Amen. That's why, you know, when He does, praise God, we just either get to praise the Lord or we say, oh me. Amen. Sometimes we just have to bow down and say, oh me, Lord. That's me. That part of the message is for me. Now, He jars you out of your slumberness long enough to say, well, this is for you. This is personal for you. This is a manifestation of the preacher for you. Amen. See, He touched that old preacher's heart. See, I told you before, hey, don't jump on me. So if something hits you in the heart, praise God. And some people say, well, preacher, you stepped on my toes. Well, I missed then. Or the Holy Ghost did, because He's aiming at your heart. See? And if He touches your heart, praise God, and you just say, oh me, or praise the Lord. Amen. If you can't say, well, praise the Lord, then we just have to hit our face and say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Help me to do better. Amen. Praise the Lord, because I'm just a mail carrier. I like it, though. I'm like old Brother Paul. There ain't nothing I like better than carrying the mail. Amen. Telling somebody about this blessed old book. Amen. Preaching the Word of God. Amen. Line upon line and precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little, praise God, to the helping of the people. What a blessing it is. So it's not only the time. He said it's times that's appointed. A time that we can hear that the preaching of the Word of God comes to where we're at. And it's alive and it's active in our life. Amen. That's what it is. That's what it is when it stirs us. That's what the Word of God is. It's a manifestation of preaching when God begins to paint you a picture. And you begin to get in on it with. And I can tell when you are, because you'll smile. Boy, and you'll get a big old smile on your face, or you'll get a big old frown. Huh? Hey, you can read it in your face. You might as well just repent. Amen. You might as well just repent and forget your wicked ways. Pray God, ask God to help you, because you can see it on your face. Amen. Probably take me a pencil of paper up here, and I could, when I'm preaching, I could look back through there, and I could probably write down the names of ones that need to repent over certain things. Amen. You say, well, preacher, is that obvious? A manifestation of the preaching, praise God. It's getting to where you're at, and can't help it. You either smile or you... Amen. And praise God, when we realize that, listen, it's a marvelous thing, the manifestation of the preaching. It's a marvelous thing that we can see that. It's looking into the basin. It's God looking in our mind. It's looking into the mind of God. It's that what He's talking about a minute ago, about knowing Him when the Word and the Spirit touches your heart. He begins to show you, praise God, where you're at in this road of life. See, we're taking a journey. Every one of us tonight are taking a journey on the road of life. And we just have to, and the Bible says if we'd judge ourselves or evaluate ourselves along the journey, so we can say in a right attitude toward God. But the reason a lot of times our attitude ain't right toward God is because we don't ever look at ourselves according to the way God sees us. But when the manifestation of the preaching, praise God, comes along and we begin to see ourselves, we begin to see what God's trying to do for us. Amen. He said, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. See, there it is. That's why I said, I didn't choose it. It chose me. Amen. I've told you before, hey, when God called me to preach for over 3 years, I run. I told Roger the other day, I told him again, I said, you ought to be the best preacher in the country. Because I stayed on my faith. I said, Lord, use Roger. Amen. Pray for, hey, the first time I ever went to Coles Cove Baptist Church, when I got out of church, when I got back in, it was to go with him to meet and praise God, to pray for him and lift him up, because God was on my heels. And I thought, well, you know what? If God just get a hold of him, praise God, he can do the job for me. Amen. I said, what about Roger? Amen. Lord said, well, he said, what about it? He said, if he tarried till I come, what's that to you? Amen. He said, I need you to do a little work. But he goes on to Titus, my own son. In other words, he's begotten in the Word. After a common faith. And now I won't say not that's how he gets us. He gets us through a common faith. There's nothing unique about this thing. It's not an agnostic type thing to where only Brother Bill can get in. Because he's so spiritual and so close to God. And, hey, he may get a little more on him than you do. Because he tries to stay hooked up. But if we'll stay hooked up with God, praise God, there's no monopoly on our faith. Amen. You can get just close on to. I told a fella today, praise God, I'd like to just crawl up in Jesus' lap and put my ear on his chest and just listen for the heartbeat of God.
Amen.
And I'd like to stay there. Praise the Lord. That's where I'd like to be all the days of my life, right in the listening to the heartbeat of God. But he says, after a common faith, he says, grace. Now, you know where grace comes from? That comes from the very wisdom of God. That comes from the knowledge of God. He's the only one that gives grace because he's the only one that knows what we need. And we can partake in his grace, praise God, because he loves us so much. Amen? And then there's mercy. That's that love of God. He extends mercy. When we ought to get justice, he extends mercy because he loves us. That's something, ain't it? That God could love you enough, praise God, when he ought to just snuff us out. He comes to us and shows us love so we can get in. He said, not only is it grace and mercy, he said, but it's peace. That peace of God that passeth understanding. That's that. You know what peace is? You know what peace with God is? That's power with God. Because when we're at peace with God, then we're where we need to be. In other words, we're heading down the right path. We're getting that close relationship. And when we got peace with God, there's power in the peace of God. Amen? That's where we get our strength. That's where we get our help. Praise the Lord. And he says, it's from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. As we, I wrote these down when I was thinking on this grace of God. It reminds us God has devised a means to deal with our sins. Amen. That's what grace is. It's God devising a way and a means to come to where we're at and take care of those sins. Grace. Amen. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. And then there's that mercy. That comes from God's love. And it's the love of God. It reminds us that God can still all our fears. Amen? That's what that mercy does. Realize that when we're anxious about things and we don't know how we're going, we don't know how this life's going to end, praise God, if mercy comes in and he says, you know what? Through God's grace and through his mercy, praise God, he saves us to the uttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost, and seals us for glory. Amen? And we have that peace that flows from the power of God. It can put down all our enemies. Amen? I like it because I can see that, you know, that peace, it passes understanding. It's like that song that Miss G likes so much about when the family's prayed and the doctors come in and everybody's done all they can. Amen. All the doctors have made all the decisions that they can. And everybody's prayed till they just wore out praying. But then there's another doctor in the room. Amen. There's another doctor comes in, praise God, and it's Dr. Jesus. And he says, you know what? I've heard the pleas of God's people, and I've come to answer prayer. And he moves upon the scene, amen, to the healing of that body and the lifting up of that soul, praise God. And they go, those that were down, they get up one more time. Amen. That's peace. There's power in the peace of God. There's power in knowing, praise God, when you're down and you're out, you can cry out and realize that there's some strength, somebody come along and fight the battle. I want to tell you tonight, we're never fighting this battle alone. Brother Robert, it may seem like we're fighting the very nymphs of hell every day. Ms. Rebecca, it may seem like, praise God, a week will come along and it just seems like you're just, it's like pushing a rope to try to get anything done for Jesus. But glory be to God. Hey, we got to realize there's a peace with God that passes understanding. And we just say, hey, you know what? It don't matter if it's rough. It don't matter if it's tough. I'm just going to go with God. I'm going to put my faith in Him. And praise God. And before you know it, there's a peace. Praise God. He'll come through and He'll say, peace, be still. The great architect of the world. Amen. Jesus, He said, there's not anything that was made that He didn't make. Amen. And the great architect of the world, he says, stop. He said, peace. Amen. He says, power. Power. still. Amen. He says, stop. See, he done that over on the Sea of Galilee. As the author and finished, that sea was a raging. I mean, the water was a boiling. It was coming into the boat. Amen. It was full. The boat was made like a U, in the middle of it was full because outside had Jesus asleep on the back end of that thing, on the aft. He wasn't worried about it. He knew where it was at. He knew where everything's at. He knew where every drop of water was. Amen. And they said, "Hear not that we perish." He got up and he said, "Why, you have a little faith." Goodness gracious. He said, "Peace. I'm not the author and finisher of the world." He said, "Hey, I've got with authority, power." He said, "Peace." And he said, then he told the elements, he said, "Be still." Amen. And in the Sea of Galilee, you got to know it because storms come in quick and they rage and they roll. And even after a storm dies down, it passes on, those waves still come in and out across that ocean, across that sea. But when Jesus said that night, he said, "Peace, be still." Bible says there was an absolute calm right now. The waves stopped. The rain quit. The wind ceased. Brother Robert, there was perfect peace. Amen. Perfect stillness. And he said, then they looked up and they were on the other side. Amen. I want to say tonight, praise God, we got the Lord on our side. Glory to God. He's that perfect peace and that power that we need, that grace, that mercy, and that peace. And it comes from God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a product of salvation. You know what salvation is? It's a picture of salvation. Picture of salvation is deliverance. It's God delivering you from something to something. Amen? That's what it is. When God saves us, He delivers us. But see, we can't ever get the concept in our human mind that we've been delivered. Amen? It's a past tense thing. We have been saved. Amen. Past tense. That means we're bound for glory. It means our ticket is bought. Amen. All we got to do is, just trust in the Lord. It's kind of like getting on the bus. You're going to do stay on the bus. Amen. And He'll see to you that you stay on the bus. Amen. It's that deliverance. It's that safety. It's preservation. Amen. It's healing. It's soundness. It's all those things that we need, praise God, in this world that we live in when we become a child of God. And it's all-inclusive. Salvation is all-inclusive. It don't leave nothing out. It don't leave nothing lacking. Amen. In the process of salvation, there's justification, just as if we had never sinned, even though we're just vile as wicked as can be. There's redemption, redeemed. We've been bought back. The price has been paid. Amen. See, we let the devil get a hold of us and we think, well, you know what? I haven't been good enough. Hey, Jesus was. Amen. The price has already been paid in redemption. He pays it through His grace. Amen. That unmerited favor. And that's that propitiation, the price of that was paid. And then there's that imputation, that inputting it, that giving it to us so that we can be free to worship the Lord, magnify Him, praise God, realizing that there's something in us that's greater than anything the world has. He says, greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. Amen. What does that mean? If we ever get a hold of that, that means that Jesus in us, Christ the Holy Ghost in us, praise God, is bigger than the devil. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about the very demons of hell. He said, Christ in you is bigger than the devil. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad for that? Yes, He's bigger, praise God. We've got some promises, all exclusive or inclusive. And then there's forgiveness that comes with that. And forgiveness comes sanctification. We get forgiveness, He gives us forgiveness, and He begins to sanctify us, to set us aside, to show us the right way. Amen? When we begin to be partakers with it. And through sanctification, we reach our ultimate goal. Is glorification. Amen? Glorified in the presence of the Lord. So when we see this manifestation of the preachings, when we see God moving, amen, and we see Him in our life, we see Him touching our lives, we ought to realize that, man, this is special. This is something that God is doing for me. Amen? something God is doing for you. That manifestation of the preaching. So the next time, praise God, when you're sitting there and the Holy Ghost of God just reaches down, takes the word and just goes, tow, 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 and just keeps, starts shooting it out at you. And you know, it's like, you ought to just say, whoa, glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that manifestation of the preaching. Amen. Paul said, they ain't nothing like that manifestation preaching. He said, in due time, appointed time, he said, God's going to manifest Himself to you through the preaching of the Word of God. He's going to give you just exactly what you need. And all we, and you know what we do? We need to do? We need to come with a mindset and attitude to be receptive of what He's got for us. Say, Lord, no matter what it is, I want it to be a part of who I am. I want to be in an attitude of receiving what You have for me. Amen. It'd be kind of like going up there to the homeless shelter where Brother Woods is, and be like going in there and getting the food lines going through, and people going through and getting food, and you go in there and you stand at the end of the line, and every time a plate's fixed, somebody else goes ahead of you. And you just stand there and you say, boy, that'd be good. That'd be good. That's kindness. That's love. That's mercy. But what if you stand there until it's all gone and you're still standing there? They've cleaned up the kitchen. They've washed the pots. And you're still standing there. But they was passing it out in a liberal fashion. They was some left over. But if you stand there in line and you don't go down and get your plate, whose fault's that? It's yours. But when you have the manifestation of the preaching, manifestation, God's showing you, then all you got to do is say, you know what? I'm just going to get my plate. Amen. I'm just going to get up here. Amen. Beside one of these good old brothers or sisters, and I'm just going to go on for the glory of God. I'm going to get my plate full too. If we come every Sunday morning, praise God, with a mindset that we're going to come and for the manifestation of the preaching. When God pours it out, praise God, we're going to stand there with a bushel basket. Amen. Amen. Forget the little old plates or the saucers. But come with a bushel basket and say, Lord, just fill me up. Amen. Just fill me to overflowing. Amen. Press down and pack. Praise God, just load me up. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of selfish. No. That's just coming to get what God's got for us. See, He's got a vast supply. Amen. But I'm afraid some of us is going. I'm afraid some of us is going home with a thimbleful, if that. Going home with a little thimbleful. And you know why we do that? Because and Junior will tell you in the car. Amen. He'll say, well, Daddy, it's because you didn't put but a nickel in. That's why you didn't get nothing out. Amen. But if we come looking to worship and we come to get in and we come to receive what God's got for us, the manifestation of preaching, to get what He, when He pours it out, praise God, to get full, God will bless our hearts. We won't go out of here every time the same way we came in, but we'll be different people for the glory of God. Amen.